And our special guests on our Mayan calendar extravaganza continue. Up next, Graham Hancock, well-known author, Fingerprints of the Gods. He's next on Coast to Coast AL. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Graham Hancock with us now, graduated from Durham University, first class honors in sociology, went on to pursue a career in journalism, noted author, Entangled, Supernatural, and also Fingerprints of the Gods. Graham, always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, George. How are you doing? Lovely to hear your voice.
Well, I've got to tell you, we went through the Mayan calendar date. No major surprises. I think a lot of people, Graham, were disappointed that nothing happened.
It's strange that anybody should be disappointed by the absence of disaster.
Exactly. Do you feel that people, some of them, were disappointed?
I can't speak for others. Speaking for myself, I'm filled with joy. I think this is a hopeful time. I think this is an optimistic time. This is a time when humanity is waking up, when we're taking sovereignty over our own lives, taking it away from the state, taking it away from the big corporations, taking it away from the big hierarchical mainstream religions that have misguided us for so long, and working towards a better future. I mean, you know, all of the ancient traditions of cataclysm, and there are many that speak of the destruction of a former civilization, say that mankind was implicated in this, that we fell out of harmony with the universe, that we incurred the anger of the gods through our arrogance, through our pride, through our wickedness. And I've often said that if any civilization looks actually like the next lost civilization in mythological terms, that's our global technological dominator culture today. But the ray of hope is the incredible awakening that has taken place as a result partly of the internet, and as a result partly of people all over the world growing into their own sense of responsibility for themselves. And that's what we are as human beings. We're creatures with the power of choice. We can choose the darkness or the light, and I see more and more people today choosing the light, you know. So this is what I take from the Mayan calendar now, that we're really looking at a time when mankind wakes up and hopefully makes the right choices.
Is it our time to take our planet back, Graham?
I believe it absolutely is. This is the message of the universe to us right now. We need to take our sovereignty back into our own hands. These nameless, faceless corporations, these gigantic bureaucracies that seem to run like machines without any notable figurehead, and yet they're all there taking power from us, taking our money through taxes, using our money against ourselves. This is the old epoch. I mean, it's interesting that the long count of the Mayan calendar spans a period of 5,126 years, from 3014 BC and ending, you know, 21st of December, at which a new cycle begins. And that period of just over 5,000 years, historically, is indeed the period of the big cities, the big corporations, the big powerful religions, the dominator culture that we've lived with for so long. And you know, I think there are so many seeds of hope flourishing in the world today. We still live in dark times. I wouldn't want to pretend otherwise. We have work to do as a species, as individuals, but as more and more people all around the world wake up, it's going to happen. I really believe it's going to happen. I feel very optimistic and very positive.
I think so too, Graham. We'll take a few calls here for you. Jeff, west of the Rockies, Culver City, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
George, and to your guest, Mr. Hancock.
Sure.
Yes, it never ceases to amaze me how all these writers and or these end-time books and these preachers and ministers constantly tell us that the world will end soon. Then when it doesn't end, they conveniently start predicting yet another alternate date.
And people accept that.
Yeah, you know, and they start talking about a new beginning and regeneration and loving everybody and all that. Wait a minute. The end means the end, period. Either the world will end or it won't end. There's no in-between, and as far as the new beginning goes, the New Testament's revelation says that will only happen for a chosen few, very far away somewhere in the heavens. So all this end time prediction is just a waste of time and money. And I'd like to get you guys' views on this.
All right. And Graham, he's absolutely right. There are a number of people who predict the end of the world, and they're wrong, or the rapture. They're wrong.
I you know, this has been a factor in human culture for a very long time. There were tremendous predictions of the end of the world 1,000 years ago at the end of the first millennium. There were some pretty wild predictions in the air around the year 2000 as well. We do seem to have this apocalyptic strain in our character. But I think what's important to remember, you know, is actually the world does end for all of us. We're all mortal. We all have finite lifespans. We've been given the gift of life by the universe on this gorgeous, glorious jewel of a planet. And yes, for each one of us, sooner or later, it will end because we're mortal. So what we have to do is make use of that gift we've been given and live full lives and live them with love, because love is the opposite of fear and hatred.
And we really don't have much of a choice here either, do we? We have to start doing it and living that way, or we run into a problem.
Absolutely. This is the responsibility that is placed upon humanity. We've been through a long period of darkness. We need to grow up. We need to wake up, and we need to do so now. The greatest threat to mankind on this planet is ourselves. And that also, in a sense, is foreseen in the Mayan calendrical system, in this notion of great cycles operating in time. We've reached a point where we have a global culture, where we have, you know, vast quantities of nuclear warheads stored all around the world, yeah, where we have people filled with hatred and paranoia who are absolutely ready to press the button. Global destruction brought about through human agency is a very real possibility. That didn't go away when 21st of December became 22nd of December. That is there right now. And as I often speak of it, this gift that the universe has given us, this beautiful garden of a planet, could be turned into a sterile, lifeless desert by our own actions, unless we take responsibility for ourselves and say we don't need those toys anymore. We're no longer children. We're grown-ups. We can live with one another and solve our problems without violence and without hatred. This is the choice that we have to make. And if we don't make it, then, you know, the future that we bring down upon ourselves will be our own responsibility.
Do you think we're looking toward extraterrestrials to come and save us, Graham?
I've never believed that. I've never for a moment believed that extraterrestrials are going to come and save us.
No.
I believe we have to save ourselves. That's our responsibility. What's the point of having life if we don't make use of it to make the right choices? Our destiny lies in our own hands, and we are the only ones who can save ourselves. This notion that extraterrestrials will save us is a huge mistake. I'm sure the universe is filled with life and filled with intelligent life just like ourselves, and every one of those life forms has the responsibility for itself, and so do we, and we shouldn't pass that responsibility on to some other.
Let's go to Leon in Boulder, Colorado. Andrew, we'll go to him first in Appleton, Wisconsin. Go ahead, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
George, can you hear me all right?
Yep, there you go.
All right. I would first like to say it's an honor to speak with you on such an epic night in Coast to Coast history.
It is epic, no doubt.
Been looking forward to this for quite some time now. And Graham, I agree with everything you're saying. You are right on.
Thank you.
When I first heard about this whole 2012 thing was about 7 years ago, and the date that I heard back then was actually December 23rd.
In fact, you're quite right. There's a dispute amongst Mayanists in the reading of the calendar. And some of them believe that the date signified for the end of the 13th baktun of the long count, when translated into our calendar, is 23rd of December 2012, and some believe it's 21st of December 2012. I think it's pretty obvious that given that the Maya were ardent star watchers and focused intensely on the heavens and inherited astronomical knowledge, I think it's pretty obvious that the focus for them would have been on the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year in the northern hemisphere, when the sun rises at its furthest to the south of east, and that is the 21st of December.
So you think we're out of the woods?
I don't think we're out of the woods. As I've been saying, I think humanity is in a crossroads moment right now, and that crossroads moment can't be pinned down to a particular day. It's a phase. It's an epoch of our history. I take hope from the awakening that I see all around the world, but I don't underestimate the dark forces that are aligned against us in human wickedness and in these nameless, faceless bureaucracies that are taking so many decisions out of our hands and leading the world towards chaos. No, the fact that 21 December has now become 22 December does not mean we're out of the woods from a self-imposed global disaster caused by human stupidity. But we have the choice. We can move forwards. We can deny the power of those bureaucracies, because it's we who fund them and we who fuel them. All we have to do is wake up.
That's well said, Graham. Well said indeed. Let's go now to Leon in Boulder, Colorado. He's ready. Hey, Leon, go ahead.
Hey, George. It's a privilege, you know, meeting you, and I'm a kind of a short-time, long-time listener.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad you're out there.
Well, here it is. I'm going to kind of put a twist on this Mayan thing. Basically, you know, the Mayans were pretty accurate kind of in, like, you know, doing their little numbers game with, you know, how many days are in a year, you know, with their calendar of the year. But they were a little off, and, you know, our scientists did their, you know, number game, and, you know, they said that, you know, the Mayans were kind of accurate, but they were just a little off. What if, by chance, you know, the Mayans were a little bit off on, you know, predicting on what day the day ended, the world ended? You know,
well,
what do you think of that?
Let me pick you up on one thing on that. I don't want to inject a note of gloom into the proceedings, but there is something interesting going on. And that is, when I've been working on the Mayan calendar and learning more about it and studying it over the last 20 years or so, I've come to realize that it is all about cyclical events. It's all about the return and recurrence of events that have happened before. And one thing that is threatening to the Earth, which returns again and again and again, is cometary bodies, long period comets. Some long period comets have orbits of thousands of years. A 12 or 13,000 year orbit is perfectly normal for a long period comet. And it is intriguing that in September 2012, Russian astronomers discovered a new comet seen against the background of the constellation of Cancer, and that is Comet Ison. George, I don't know if any of your other guests this evening have mentioned Comet Ison.
No, they have not.
But Comet Ison is a rather intriguing thing if one speculates that the Maya were predicting the return of a cataclysmic agent into the solar system, because Comet Ison, by 21st of December 2013, is going to be the single brightest object in our night sky. It's going to be brighter than the full moon. Now, the good news is it's going to miss the Earth, as the calculations from these observations go. That's the very good news. But what interests me about it is that studies of this comet are suggesting that it's related to another comet, which was the Great Comet of 1680, which is also known as Newton's Comet, and that these two comets may be themselves different fragments. The comet we're seeing that we now call Comet Ison, the comet that appeared in 1680 called the Great Comet, may be different fragments of a gigantic exploded comet that disintegrated in the solar system thousands of years ago. And this is where it ties into other recent research, because around 12,900 years ago, which is exactly the window that I pointed to in Fingerprints of the Gods for a lost civilization, around 12,900 years ago, it's now absolutely clear that a gigantic comet did hit the Earth. A fragmenting, exploded comet, fragments of an enormous comet hit the Earth and exploded over North America and created, for example, the features that we call the Carolina Bays, which are impact craters, and plunged the world, which was then emerging from the Ice Age, into a thousand-year deep freeze that is called the Younger Dryas, darkened the skies all around the Earth, and led to the extinction of 70% of all mammalian species. This was a gigantic cataclysm 12,900 years ago. And it may be that fragments of that comet, like the Great Comet in 1680, like Comet Ison that we're going to be seeing very bright in our skies next year, are still winging around in the solar system. And therefore, we should not be completely complacent, because comets often are not seen until they approach the sun and start to outgas. And I think we do need to remain aware of the danger of long cyclical astronomical bodies such as comets, which can threaten the Earth and which have threatened the Earth in the past. As I say, Comet Ison, as its orbit is presently plotted, we don't know what other fragments are out there and are still dark. But the orbit of Comet Ison is one that does not threaten us. It will not hit the Earth, but it's going to be putting on a spectacular firework display a year from now. And if the Maya were talking about that, I think over a 13,000-year period, a one-year error is not that far out.
No, not at all. Let's take one more call here. We'll go to Tyler in Normal, Illinois, east of the Rockies. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, I agree with Graham totally about that we totally, as people, need to get it all together and find it within ourselves to go towards peace and everything. I had one theory about what actually happened today for 2012. I had a vision a while ago. I saw space expanding as time was contracting, and one thing that I think that could have happened today, and honestly, I don't think a lot of people would even realize if it happened, was if space was completely full and time was empty, so, you know, you could say the end of time or whatever, and it just, like, reversed and, you know, space started contracting as time began to expand again. You know, I don't think anybody would really realize if it stopped for a second, because there would be no, you know, real time progressing. So I feel like that could have been occurring, and something that we could look out for is to see if, you know, maybe we could start noticing the space starting to contract back towards us, you know.
Are we in we're in some kind of time warp?
Well, I do believe that time is all cyclical, and, you know, it could be go along with the Big Bang, Big Crunch theory, you know, and maybe, you know, after however long the universe has been evolving now, we could slowly move back towards that Big Bang point over, you know, however long the universe itself has
sure.
been forming.
Well, it'll take billions of years to happen. Graham, we're almost out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program.
Thank you, George. It's been a pleasure to be with you and with your listeners. Let's all look forward to a bright and wonderful future filled with love and responsibility. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. We have to take sovereignty over our own consciousness.
All right, that's Graham Hancock. Up next, Robert Bivol joins us, and Maurice Cotterell, and also your phone calls, as we wrap up now our Mayan extravaganza here on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, we continue now with our Mayan calendar extravaganza. Up next, Robert Bivol and Maurice Cotterell will get their views and your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And as I told you, we'd be here Saturday, we'll be here Sunday, and we will be. And then our live programs on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. Make sure you're part of the show right here on Coast to Coast AM. And let me tell you a little bit about Robert Bivol. Of course, many of you know him. He's been on the program before. Among his books, The Orion Mystery, of course. He's an author, lecturer, ancient Egypt researcher, best known, of course, for the Orion Correlation Theory. Robert was born in Alexandria, Egypt, And here he is on Coast to Coast. Hey, Robert, how are you? Great to have you on.
Good morning, George. Nice to talk to you again.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting on the floor, actually, against a warm heater somewhere in England.
Somewhere there. When's the last time you went to Egypt?
I was there about 8 days ago.
Have we found out whatever happened to Zahi Hawass?
Actually, believe it or not, I bumped into him. He is still alive.
Well, that's good. That's
kicking. He's, of course, out of the antiquity department. Mm-hmm. But he came to give a lecture to a group at the Manor House Hotel. Let me get it right. It was the 2nd of December. And he seemed fine. He seemed fine.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And so he was not chased out or anything. They seem to still respect him in some circles out there.
Well, there is quite a few legal cases against him.
Yes, that's true.
And it's a bit confusing as to what's going on. At the moment, as you know, the Egyptian new government has a lot of other fish to fry, so all these things have been put on standby. But my guess is he'll probably end up living in where you are.
In Los Angeles, huh? You know what? You're probably right. And he'd probably be well-received here.
He has a lot of friends in the States, and I think that's probably where his future lies. But we'll see. Things are very topsy-turvy in Egypt at the moment. Actually, what is actually going on right now, George, is the final round of constitution voting.
That's right. That's big. That's huge out there.
So what a wonderful time to begin a new era for Egypt. It's fixed to the 22nd of December. Well, there you are. I mean, there's something going on.
Maybe they'll let us find out what might be at the base of the Sphinx, Robert, and see if there is a Hall of Records down there.
I'm here waiting desperately for them to sort of come to that hopeful conclusion. But as you know, it's been going on for quite a few years, so let's wait and see.
You know, and you were born in Alexandria. My late father was born in Cairo. I know.
Remember that? I remember discussing the meaning of your name, George.
Yeah. Yep, the light.
The light. You are George the Light. That's very good.
So the Mayan calendar, nothing really happened. I've said that several times throughout the night tonight, Robert. But does that mean that that window of some potential calamity is closed? What do you think about all this?
You know, I'm the nuts and bolts guy of this story. So I don't know how many guests you've had and what they've discussed, but I think it's important for people to realize, at least from a astrophysical viewpoint, what really happened and whether it has any meaning or not. You want me to do that?
Yeah, please.
Well, basically, in a nutshell, the sun, or rather the Earth, goes around the sun, as everybody knows, in a cycle of 365 days. Whereas our solar system is part of a much wider landscape, which we call the galaxy. Our solar system is about a third from the edge, the outer edge of this galaxy. And I've got some figures here in case you want to know them. We're about 250,000 trillion kilometers from the galactic center. So that's the landscape we're talking about.
Well, that's a pretty long poke.
It's a long way from the galactic center. But actually what has happened visually is that as the Earth goes around the sun, the apparent position of the sun crosses the galactic equator, or the galactic center, as other people call it, inevitably once a year. Now, it so happens that it did cross, what was it, about nearly 24 hours ago,
mm-hmm.
When the winter solstice point also happened to be on the galactic
center. Right there, exactly. And that's what made it unusual, I think.
It makes it unusual in the sense that this event happens every 26,000 years, plus or minus a few centuries. So The big question is, and I remember discussing this with John Major Jenkins in Egypt, actually. He came to Egypt, what was it, in 2010, I think. And basically is whether the Mayans were able to calculate so precisely the movement of, or the apparent movement caused by the precession of the equinoxes. It really is a mystery, and to me that is far more interesting than thinking of some calamity and so forth.
I agree.
Because there's a big discussion, as you are aware, George, is whether the ancients could or could not have been aware of the precession of the equinoxes, let alone calculate it. It seems to me that the Mayans were able to do this.
And that is the baffling part of the whole story, isn't it?
Well, if what is correct about the Mayan calendar's conclusion, i.e. that it ends on the 21st of December, or it ended yesterday on the 21st of December of 2012, according to our Gregorian calendar, by the way, which is precisely on the winter solstice. Now, if they were able to calculate that several thousand years ago, then we have to really look at ancient cultures, and especially the Mayans, in a very different way.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I've been saying this, the same thing about ancient Egypt. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming that they were aware of the precession of the equinoxes, which perhaps I think we should define very quickly. It's a very slow drift of the position of the solstices or the equinoxes as they drift along the ecliptic, the path of the sun, or the apparent path of the sun, in a very slow cycle of 26,000 years. So that's it. And to me, there is plenty of evidence that the ancients were aware of it. And as my colleague Tom Brophy, you've had him on your show, I think.
Mm-hmm, sure have.
We've written a book, and we're publishing a new book about this as well, a follow-up to Black Genesis. Where we've shown that this awareness was even long before the pharaonic civilization. We have the evidence somewhere in the western desert of Egypt, in a place called Nabta Playa, but I don't want to go into that. But the evidence is overwhelming that the ancients knew or observed the precession of the equinoxes. And with the Mayan calendar, it adds another dimension to this, is that they were able to calculate it very precisely.
Yes, their accuracy, Robert, was almost superb. I want to thank you for being on the program. As we wrap things up, we've got one more guest coming up here, Maurice Cotterell, of course, Robert Bouval, live in England. Maurice is in Ireland, and let's bring him in on Coast to Coast right now. Hey, Maurice, how have you been?
I'm okay, George. How are you?
Good. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Your reaction to this entire Mayan calendar situation?
Well, it's certainly not the end of the Mayan calendar. It's the end of a 144,000-day period, the Bactan. There are far longer cycles in the Mayan calendar. The Pictan, for example, which is larger than the Bactan, is 2,880,000 days. The Calabtan is 57,600,000 days. The Kinchilitan is 1,152,000,000 days. So it certainly isn't the end of the Maya calendar. Now, to understand what the Maya were up to, we have to look back to where their calendar began in 3114 BC. Now, that's 3,000 years before the Maya appeared on the planet. The reason it began at that time for them was because the sun reversed its magnetic field at that time and a new cosmic age began. The reversing magnetic field flipped the planet Venus, which is closest to the sun, on its axis. So now Venus, unlike all of the other planets, spins backwards. One day on Venus is 243 Earth days. The 3114 BC magnetic flip was hence known as the birth of Venus. They also knew, and I can explain how in a few moments, that another magnetic reversal would happen 1,366,040 days, that's 3,740 years, after the first one, in around AD 700, which would wipe out their own civilization. When a solar magnetic reversal happens, Venus sometimes flips.
That's right.
But it did not flip in AD 700 because the magnetic forces were not strong enough. But three other factors were of interest to the Maya. Reversals coincide with sunspot minimums that cause lower temperatures on Earth, less evaporation of water from the oceans, less rainfall, drought, and famine. And they knew that the 28-day revolving sun affects fertility hormones in females on the Earth, and that sunspot minimums result in a decline in fertility, so less babies would be born. And thirdly, they knew that a sunspot minimum, more X-rays would strike the Earth around the equatorial regions, causing spontaneous fetal miscarriage. A triple whammy. So it was crucial for the Maya to monitor the sunspot cycle to prepare for the next magnetic reversal due around AD 700.
How would they know these things, Maurice?
Just getting onto it, George. They found a way to track the cycle using the 584-day Venus interval. That's the time it takes for Venus to orbit the Sun once to an observer on Earth. 2,340 whole revolutions of Venus amount to the magnetic reversal period of 1,366,560 days. It's just 520 days difference to the computer-calculated period of 1,366,040 days. They revered and feared this number more than any other, and they referred to it as the rebirth of Venus. But there is another slight problem.
And a couple minutes to go, Maurice. Go ahead.
The Venus interval they were using for calculation is not precisely 584 days long. It is actually 583.92. What this means is that every time they counted 2,340 revolutions of Venus, they finished up with an error of 2,340 multiplied by 0.08, which equals 187.2 days. That is the basis for the so-called long count, which ended yesterday, which is 1,872,000.
Was it accurate?
Perfectly accurate. So why bring the number 1,872,000, which is 10,000 times bigger than the error, to our attention? Because Lord Peikal, the priest-king leader of the Maya, wished to emphasize not only the importance of 2,340 Venus revolutions, the rebirth of Venus, that resulted in the 187.2-day error, but he also wanted to bring to our attention the most important number of 144,000, the period of the Baktum, which is mentioned in the Book of Revelations in the Bible. It says 144,000 will go to heaven when the world ends. Only the long count, which ended yesterday, contains a Venus interval error calendrical correction of 187.2 and 144,000. Now we can see what the Maya were up to. The last page of Revelation in the Bible says this: I, Jesus, am the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star refers to Venus, which means that the rebirth of Venus was the rebirth of Jesus. Lord Peikal, the leader of the Maya, was telling us that he was the rebirth of Jesus, the reincarnation of Jesus, and to prove it, he left behind all of his knowledge of the super signs of the sun and how to get to heaven as living miracles encoded in the carving.
And you, Maurice, are one of the few people to be able to decipher that and to understand that. And I want to thank you, too, for being part of our Mayan calendar extravaganza. And, of course, I've got to thank our staff. They have worked around the clock for 10 years on this. Executive producer Lisa Lyon, producer Tom Danheiser, engineer Dan Galanti, and, of course, webmasters Lex Lonehood and Sean LaDesure. And so I thought back, and I thought for a moment, nothing's going to happen after all. It could be a solar event, something with the sun. I guess we probably lucked out. Nothing really occurred.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. The night. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you've got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Coast to Coast.